Previously on 2 Past Midnight, you see that helmet pop up. So from your vantage point, it kind of appears like there's an ambush set.
Be on your toes. I think it's going to get frosty. We got friendlies around us.
What are you seeing? Where?
To your count, you would count, you know, plus or minus of a dozen.
Oh, it's about to get good.
Don't make it obvious.
Why are you putting hands on your head?
It's an American game. It's called Emmett Says.
In my head, I'm going to assume the fiction. Emmett said something smarter than this. Drops to the ground. She shoots him in the face. We're out of combat.
Are we?
The dude that was in the driver's seat of the truck is just like slumped over, heads on the horn.
Gordon puts his M9 away and puts his hands up. He's on his knees.
Murph walks over to the body of the guy he just shot and starts curb stomping the head.
Okay.
And he's like, "You stupid fucking Russians couldn't just leave us alone," and just slamming his boot into the dude's head.
Stanislav is just staring at Harrison, and he hears the gunfire stops, and he just drops down to the sitting position, and he just puts his head in his hands, and he kind of starts kind of sobbing a little bit. I said I was going to protect him, and he just runs and gets blown up. Brigida, I'm sorry.
Gordon's hands are on his head. He's on his knees. He's kind of looking out into the field in the general area of where everybody is, and in every language he can think of. He's, you know, in English, he's just like, "I surrender." In French, he's surrender. In German and Polish, he's just going through every language he knows. Hands on his head. He doesn't know who's out there necessarily. So he's just kind of making sure he doesn't get shot.
Harrison crawls out from under the brush. And, Miss Stan, you okay? You okay? I tripped that wire. I was just trying to get to you and get under cover.
No, Harrison. Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm okay, Miss Stan.
Let me look you over. No,
I'm all good. You okay?
No, I'm fine. And Stanislav stands up and he starts looking over Harrison very gruffly, trying to like see if he's bleeding anywhere or if, you know, he's in shock. He's like, "Are you okay? Okay." He grabs him by the face and looks him in the eye. And he's like, "You seem okay. All right, you. Are you good? All right."
I ain't leaking, Miss Stan. I'm good. Thank you for trying to get me out of the way there. We could have been shot from every direction.
We still may be shot. Who knows? But for now, you are okay. All right.
I'm glad you're okay, Miss Stan.
Oh, I am always okay.
You and I make good team. We're gonna get out of here.
We'll get you home, Harrison. I will try to get you home as best I can. I'm sorry. I told you the wrong thing. I thought the brush would be safest place. You know, it's easy to hide over there. You know,
it's okay, Miss Stan. We're all good. You're not hurt. I'm not hurt. We're good. We're going to get out of here. You're going to come see my farm.
I'm sorry, Harrison. Yes, we'll go see your farm. Yes.
So as you all are talking, they all start moving in closer. You can see that group of soldiers kind of coming in an L shape towards...
Weapons up or weapons down?
Weapons up. Like, they've got them up. They've got them shouldered as they're walking in.
It was a good question. Don't give me that look.
So they're moving in closer. They're probably about, 60, 70 meters, probably 50 meters, depending on who it is you're talking about. But they're moving in, weapons up, and they're doing that, like, not crouching, but like half crouch with their shoulder, weapon shoulder, not pointed directly at you, but they're like slightly lowered by about 10 degrees where it's like, you know, pop up and squeeze trigger if they have to.
Groucho walk at the ready. Yep.
Oh, yeah. See, I was trying to use descriptive terminology that...
not vernacular.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what they're doing. And so, yeah, you see them walking towards you. Gordo was laying on the ground, right, with your hands?
Knees.
Behind your head?
Hands on head.
On your knees with your hands? Yep. Murph is still curb stomping a dude, slamming his head up on the truck, I'm assuming. And that helmet that's fucking useless now, the Soviet steel helmet that he had on.
Do not shoot, do not shoot, do not shoot, do not shoot them here. Not Russian. Thank you for your service.
Emmett is up on Psalms in the back of the truck, and he's going to just kind of, basically in the lowest thing he can, Major, what do you want me to do here? We've got multiple bogeys inbound. I'm not sure if they're friendly or not.
All of a sudden, to the north of you, it's coming from the middle one on the. And he says, hey there, how about if you get off that gun there for a second? Till we get this all figured out, you know?
I'll put my hands up. I'll say, my name is Captain Peterson. I'm with the 25th Infantry. Please, Soviets that you dispatched, they kind of took over our truck and equipment. We are Americans. We are friendly.
Not American.
As you look around on them, like, I mean, it's an assortment of, you know, age groups and whatever, and you could tell that the one that's talking to you is kind of in charge, you know. So, Captain Peterson, what, you were prisoners then?
Yeah, per se. We came upon their roadblock. They had a got the drop on us, and we were headed to Krakow.
Hmm. Yeah, the road's pretty dangerous along here. We'd been seeing them around a little bit. What are you headed to Krakow for? And he's walking closer. They're all kind of moving in.
Our group here, we were headed there. We heard of a tank operational in this area. So we were 2nd Armored Division. Tank headed southbound this way. We were headed to Krakow hoping to look for more information.
I haven't really seen a tank come by. Hey, how about you have your buddy get out of that tree line over there? And you see the one to the furthest south on that L starts headed towards Mr. Stanislav and Harrison. Yeah, why don't y'all kind of centrally locate, if you will, please? He yells that out.
Emmett will holler at Stanislav and Harrison. Hey, you boys all right? I'm going to need you to reconvene over here on the truck.
Gordon stands up, hands still on the top of his head, but just kind of walks over. Turns around and just kind of leans his butt on the front of the truck.
Stanislav is staying within arm's distance of Harrison, and as they're walking, he's still checking him over, looking at his legs, looking at his arms, looking at his back to see if there's any spots that he may have missed to make sure that Harrison's okay.
Okay.
Will you stop fussing over me? I'm okay, Miss Stan.
I'm just checking. He's being thorough, you know? He's like machine. You have to be very careful. Could be smallest detail, you know? Sepsis is very, very bad.
You could check one of the two people that were shot.
He just waves his hand at you as he's still checking out Harrison.
So you're headed to Krakow. You're looking for what? Why? What tank are you looking for?
We got word that a 2nd Armored Division tank with longhorns on it was headed southbound from the river. Upon crossing the river and coming down this way, we came across the major here in the back of the truck. She's heard her unit had been quite injured from what appears to be religious fanatics. We are trying to get her to Krakow for medical attention and looking for further information on the 2nd Armored Division tank that we saw that was still, or heard of, that was still mobile.
Meanwhile, Murph is still kicking the fucking Russian soldier, going, "Stupid fucking Russians, can't just leave us the fuck alone."
When and how does he come down from that? Just curiously.
Does not specify. I would say at least till the end of a combat in those kind of situations, or at least until the stressful scenario is no longer present.
I think we'll just play it out.
I mean, if we go by like the incapacitated by stress, it'd be like a shift, or not a shift, the stretch. So I'd say 5 to 6 minutes and he'd be done banging dudes. He would, you know, be done.
Done banging dudes.
Phrasing.
Banging dudes.
Yeah, we can let it play out.
It's all right, buddy. Yeah, in about 5 minutes, you'll be done banging dudes.
And then you'll roll over and go to sleep.
Then we can get back to Krakow.
Yeah, they're standing there. They kind of have their weapons loaded, so they're like, yeah, I mean, the road has been kind of dangerous around here. I guess kind of surprised you guys were just headed straight down it, I guess, but, you know, and a truck. But you said this was your truck?
It's my truck. I'm letting them use it. I'm taking them to Krakow and then Krakow, and then I'm trying to find Father Robert. He's a man from my village who came down with other villagers. It's the safest place for them now, Krakow.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, we got a campsite just up here on the other side of those trees. If y'all want to take a break, kind of take a load off, get a breather before you head the rest of the way.
100%, much appreciated. You mind if we start pulling some gear off these Russians? Would you want to split it 50-50?
Well, I mean, if we were going to split it, I'd say we should probably do it, like, percentage-wise, maybe. You know?
Gear on Russians was taken from us to begin with. Is point of order.
So they took all these guns from you and they had nothing?
They did not take all the guns. They took many guns. They took many guns.
I mean, most of those are in the truck.
These men have many guns, but not enough hands to shoot them.
I will gladly give you all the guns for one of those cool blue helmets of yours. I've always liked them.
They're all kind of looking at their helmet and they're like, no. Like the one guy that's closest to you, like, just staring at you like, no, why would I get one of those Soviet steel ones?
Don't get the one with the hole in it. That one is no good anymore.
It's a very good way to get shot, to put on a Russian helmet.
Yeah, I guess so. It might be.
Stanislav looks straight in your face, wearing a Russian steel helmet.
Yeah, so the guy in charge says, yeah, so we're our campsite's just over there, straight west, through that tree line. Y'all want to go over that way? We can just throw all the gear in the back of this truck and worry about it then.
Sounds good to me. Let's let us regroup at your camp and take it from there. I'm just wanting to get off this road. We've been walking for hours.
Harrison, you want to get in truck and drive over to this man's camp?
I drive wherever you tell me to drive, but getting off this damn road's a good idea. What in the hell is that crazy bastard doing with that dead dude?
By this point, he's kind of done, and it's like he stops smashing that guy's head on the truck.
Now hold on one second here. I identified myself before we go to your campsite. Who are you?
Shit, I haven't even came up with the name of this guy. Hold on.
John, Bob, Bill, Dave.
American name.
I'm Blake.
Nope. I'm going to say Hoover. Lieutenant Hoover. Sir.
All right, well then, Captain Emmett will speak to the Major and say, Major, do you want to head back to this camp or do you want to press on to Krakow?
Well, I mean, it's up to you all. You're the ones who've been walking, so.
Yeah, but you're the one who can't walk. And you're the ranking officer here. So you let me know what you want to do, ma'am.
Nah, y'all should take a break. If that's what you want to do.
It will give me time to make repairs on equipment, on vehicle, and fix that the machine gun in the front cab.
All right. Harrison takes to the camp.
All right, so they kind of open up that L so that you guys can drive to the northwest towards their camp.
Murph's going to break off of the group and go south to the water.
Hey, where's your buddy going?
I'm going to clean myself off. Mind your own fucking business.
The lieutenant goes, whistles and points in a direction. And a couple guys break off and start following you that way.
So yeah, he just gingerly makes his way, so obviously he doesn't fall down that little embankment.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like squats in front of the water and takes his Kevlar off and checks it, washes the blood off of his face that's leaking down from taking the shot off the dome.
Mm-hmm.
Just cleaning himself up and calming. He more just wanted to calm down from his little psychotic episode.
Yeah, and while Murph's down there doing that, those two dudes that went off, like, followed you that way, are just kind of, like, up the embankment still and just, like, watching you.
I got you.
Yep. And the rest of y'all were headed to the camp?
Yes, sir.
Heading to the camp.
Yeah, so Murph's down at the water, cleaning off, and those two dudes are up on the embankment, kind of looking down. As you get back to the campsite, I mean, there's, like, it's more like they have like a fire pit and like a poncho shelter that they rigged together in the trees. 550 cord and the last bungee cord that they had. And
it's a bivouac.
Yeah. That's what you want to call it. It's a poncho hooch. And yeah, so they have this small little campsite. And Tenants Hoover. Like, yeah, I mean, this is all it is. I mean, you know, it's nothing super fancy, but, you know, it works.
Gordon's going to find the nicest Russian helmet he can, throw it on. You said none of them have Kevlar on.
The Russians? Yeah, they don't have Kevlars.
No flak, no nothing.
The Russians don't have flak jackets. They have steel helmets. That's it. These dudes all have flak jackets and Kevlars.
And none of them died. Nobody on their squad died at all, did they?
One did, but they got his gear.
Selfish bastards.
Because why the fuck would they give it to you?
Well, they do just put it in a pile. this is the end of the world. We trade things.
Well, what do you got for it, man? It's this other dude.
900 AK-47s, 5 grenades, 65 reloads, and water they don't know is tainted.
I love that Kyle's the inventory guy. Yep. That's legit numbers right there.
We also have 2 Russian sniper rifles and 1 American sniper rifle.
Good luck trading that one.
Murph's watching his blood all over him. He's not involved here.
Hey, do you want to try to bargain with him for the black? What do you
want
to?
I want a blue helmet, a flak jacket.
Tell me what you
want
to trade for. I mean, because this is like their buddy's helmet and flak jacket that you're now vulturing. So tell me what you want. Tell me what you're going to offer them for their buddy's flak and Kevlar.
I'm Canadian, so I can do this.
Do it. Be my guest. So you go up to one of the dudes who's got his buddy's, you know, body, and they were, you know, bringing it back over and everything. And his name is...
Not using it anymore?
Reinhardt. No, not that guy. The one who's still alive. He's Private Reinhardt.
Tis an absolute shame what happened to your friend there. I very much appreciate you guys coming to our rescue there. It's not lost on me that this stuff is currently going unused. Just did not know in this new post-apocalyptic bartering society if there's anything you guys require that we may have. I'm unfortunately finding myself a lack of protection out there, and It has made me a bit jumpy in the past weeks, and not to be disrespectful to your fallen comrade, I'm simply looking for a way to protect myself a little bit more and find myself better equipped.
Well, I mean, what are you going to offer me?
Are they using American rifles, or are they using...
They're using American rifles, yeah. They have M16s.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah, so they probably don't care about AKs or anything. We have an abundance of these 762s. We have a spare Russian sniper rifle that, unfortunately, we can equate to it working very, very well. I have this M9 that will need a small screwdrivering, but still has life left into it. These 5 grenades that I have on my person. Spare medkits, water,
don't
rations.
Don't forget the best of the Beatles, man.
Yes, indeed. We have this compact CD with this British band you may have heard of, The Beatles.
Is box set.
Box set. Box. That's right. Box set.
So you're offering me all this?
Within reason, absolutely.
For my best friends, Flak and Kevlar.
Best friend now. I apologize. I was unaware. Again,
you are not good at bartering. You should not give all these things away.
I mean, that was my question, was what are you offering for my buddies, Flak and Kevlar, and you name off a very large list, which does sound interesting.
Well, the reason for me going through the entire large list is I do not know your needs. And my desire is for you to leave this transaction with something you require, and me to leave with something I require. If you have no use for an item, I did not want to offer it.
I mean, we could use pretty much anything, but I guess the question I was asking, what you were offering for it, since it seems like you were intent on a flak and Kevlar.
This is my intent.
Oh wait, shit, what, I didn't roll for ablation. Hold on. One of them is bad,
you son of a
I'll let you decide. One of them is ablated.
I mean, obviously the helmet. What a blue helmet, crap. The helmet's dead.
Mm-hmm.
The flak's fine. The Kevlar's good.
I'm fine with that. The flak jacket's fine. The helmet's bad. Yep.
Still wear my stupid, goofy Russian steel helmet.
I mean, the flak can be repaired, so.
Oh, yeah. Or the helmet can be repaired?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. So, yes, I'm interested in this helmet and interested in this flak, and we have several extra of these Russian rifles. We've got a few more than we can currently fire. And the skateboard, it appears. Would you be interested in a skateboard?
No. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't know. Maybe a dozen AKs and 2 reloads each.
Try to do math to see what we actually have.
The flak. Okay, in the manual, the flak and Kevlar is 250 combined.
And a guns. Yeah.
One AK is 300.
Yeah.
It's a bad deal.
Bad deal, but not in the supply and demand. Okay.
You've survived this long.
Yeah, and we also have a better chance of probably hitting a not so pricey deal if we can actually get to Krakow.
Yes.
Alive. Get to Krakow alive. I'd like to throw that in there.
Look, there's no guarantees anywhere in this game. At all.
Yeah.
Flak or Kevlar, it doesn't matter.
And as far as you Frenchie go, I mean, if you make it there, you make it there. You know what I mean?
I believe I fired quite a few more bullets than you did there, fake captain.
That's very true. But I have a flak jacket.
Just because you came with
it. Speaking of a bladed Adam, I think I need to roll. I took a headshot.
Yeah, you probably do.
D6?
Yep.
I will counter with 4 AKs with 2 reloads each.
Awesome.
Though, what'd you get, Chris?
What'd you get on that ablation, Chris?
It was a nice, happy, smiley red 1.
That means that your helmet is ablated.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'll play that out when he walks back to camp, I guess.
Okay.
Which I'm going to assume we can do.
So I guess now we need to barter for 2 helmets.
Well, so here's the thing, Kyle.
Yes.
This should technically be a persuasion roll. That's why I was trying to figure out what you were
offering. I'm waiting for the guy in charge to tell me what to roll, or if somebody would back me up to help bolster my ability to do this. But it appears that this gaggle of team that I'm on have all abandoned me, and nobody's willing to step up and say, hey, I can persuade people. Right. Nothing.
So as you're talking with that guy, Lieutenant Hoover has been offering some, like, what little food. They're like, yeah, we have some food if you guys want to, like, heat up some food here at the fire or anything like that. You know, kind of rest over here. And it's like, you know, we were about to probably have some chow when we heard the truck coming. So, does the major need anything, ma'am? Yeah, I guess I could eat. And
I will eat if you are offering.
Harrison,
I would definitely like a little bit of food if you don't mind.
Okay. So yeah, so they start, you know, kind of bringing the guys over and warming up some food. It's not great, you know, but it's food, I guess. So
it's free.
Yep, it's free. And we cut back over to the river, and we see Murph finishing up, like, cleaning up, and those two dudes are still standing there. And they got their rifles, like, you know, on their front. Not Groucho walking at the ready, but not unready, if you know what I mean. They kind of angled down.
He had already swapped out the mag on his pistol and put it back in the holster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walks up, like, to them with his Kevlar in his hand. You guys mind if I go to this camp of yours?
Nah, of course. Becca. They kind of point back then, like, back that way. We'll follow you there.
All right. Murph just heads to the camp.
Yep. And as you're walking across, they're like walking behind you.
I gotcha.
Escorting you back over.
He doesn't pay it any mind, but he goes up to Gordo.
Oh, Gordo's got to roll this roll on his own because that shit was happening while you were washing. Sorry, man.
Oh, no, I was going to throw him my Kevlar.
Oh, you mean to Stanislav?
No, I was going to throw it to Gordo and tell him if Stanislav can fix it, he can have it.
Well, either way, Gordo.
Yeah, let this happen first.
Roll your persuasion at a -1 because there's more of them than you. There's more of them than you. We covered this before.
But I thought that was hot in during hostility.
Nope.
It's just negotiations.
Just negotiations. There are more of them than you. -1.
All right. 4. Fail.
Do you want to push that roll?
Sure. 4. Fail.
Okay. Yeah, they're like, nah, man, I'm not selling you this fucking black and Kevlar, dude. It's not happening. And you can see in his face just this, like, you don't even see him getting emotional over saying that. It's just this, like, blank, like, coldness to it. Like, when you're, like, just the fact that you're asking him, he's just like, why don't even, like, it doesn't even register as, like, you know, why the fuck would I sell you his black and Kevlar, man?
It's all right. Nah, I know the Americans. Silver spoon, as if you will. You're just handed everything you needed. And, you know, it's okay. Don't work for anything. Have a good old time.
I mean, you rolled no successes. So.
Yeah, I got no help from the rest of my
team. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out well for me. looking out for me there. Well, I'll be sure to remember
that. They totally were.
You just walked up on us like 2 days ago.
It was yesterday. We've spent one day with you, like, full on.
That's literally one less day than Stanislav.
He fought through the church fight. He was there, man. He was there at the Alamo.
I didn't back him up either, to be clear.
A random NPC fought through the church swap. He became Stanislav later.
He also has not asked anybody to do anything for him.
Does Murph make it up to the camp?
Yeah, you make it to the camp. Yep.
So he goes to Gordo, and he's like, you still looking for a Kevlar?
Yeah, definitely trying to feel a little less equipped than the people firing bullets at me.
He hands him his Kevlar and he's like, you can get it fixed. It's yours.
Much appreciated. So I have a holy Kevlar and a steel Russian helmet.
Murph will just take one of the steel Russian helmets. He doesn't give a fuck.
After eating, I will continue working on 240.
Okay. What's anybody else going to do? Because I'm going to basically consider this the shift at this point. That you guys are hanging out here.
I will sit down and I will weapon maintenance the M9 to unjam's head gun.
Okay. All right, so I just want to double check, and this is probably going to get cut. When you're saying Kevlar, you guys are all meaning helmets, right?
When I say Kevlar, I'm talking about the helmet.
Okay, I'm just making sure that we're all speaking the same lingo. Me too, but I like what's in the flak jacket? Kevlar. Also that's not Kevlar. The point. Like what I'm saying is flak and Kevlar. Like they're two things. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're so you have the broken Kevlar helmet and the steel helmet, right?
Yeah, wearing the steel helmet, and I will eventually work on the one that isn't Russian.
I can fix.
So after Murph hands him the broken Kevlar or ablated Kevlar, he's like, you can get it fixed, it's yours. Then he just goes and grabs one of the Russian steel helmets and puts it on his head, and he's like, whatever, it works.
Much appreciated, friend.
Mr. Stan.
Yes.
You mind giving me the once over here? I'm leaking again. I've got 4 points of damage. That's why I'm...
He's eyeing you up and down because he saw you in the violence and the outbursts. And he pauses for a long time and says, "Yes, sit down here. I will look you over." Then he gets up and gives you his seat where he was sitting on a log. And then he gives Murph the once over. And it's a lot slower. It's not as aggressive as it has been before. And he's taking his time and being a little more thorough.
Thank you, Stan.
And has no successes.
It's all good.
I've done what I can. But you should rest.
Will do. Thank you. He goes off by himself and lays down under a tree or something.
Alright. So you guys look around the camp and see Mr. Stan trying to take care of him, and you see the U.S. soldiers, and they're kind of like in groups. They got canteen cups with like whatever fucking pine needle tea they've been making, and you know, they have a little bit of stew and whatnot. And I don't even know if there's pine trees. I'm assuming there's pine trees in Poland, right?
There are.
Yeah. Whether they're poisonous to make it out of the pine needles or not, I don't know. But I'm going to say it's not. I'm sure someone from Poland might correct me at some point.
Douglas fir, they're fine.
It's a good source of vitamin C to not get scurvy. But anyway, Lieutenant Hoover walks over to Emmett over at the truck and with Major Gibson and, like, you know, hands her a canteen cup with some stew in it. And both of them, he's like, "I'm sorry. I it's been kind of dangerous out here. You don't know really who to trust a lot of times. So sorry if I came across a little harsh in the beginning."
"No, I totally get it, soldier. We've come across a mixed bag ourselves. Those that we've had to help, those that have helped us, and those that we have had to defend ourselves against. I don't blame you for what you did. I actually am very grateful that God sent you and, pretty much liberated us. I wasn't sure how that situation was going to pan out."
"Yeah, I mean, it was just coincidence. You all happened to be there. I guess it was a good thing you decided to put your hands up or on your head and dive to the... What the hell was that? Emmett says thing, sir? What the hell was that all about?"
"I mean, honestly, it was a game I used to play with my boy. And really, the only thing I could think of to not just completely give away the fact that we had already seen you guys. So,
yeah,
you guys had the drop on us, and we didn't want to alert the rest of our captors as to what was about to happen. But we also did not want our people to be a part of the casualty. So,
yeah, no, I get it. I'm just saying you're kind of lucky that some of them didn't shoot anyway. You know, they may not have interpreted it the right way. Probably the best thing was that they saw you shooting at them before they shot at your guys. You know what I mean?"
"Yeah. Well, I mean, the best I can tell you is the Lord has brought us this far, and it seems that he has provided for us this day a liberation and a way out. So if any of those bullets were meant for any of my men today, then they would have found their mark. But it seems that they did amongst all the Soviets."
"What type of day are we looking at?"
"Oh, we never rolled for weather for the shift. Roll me a D6.
"Not it."
"Yo, 2.
It is sunny still.
Morning, noon, night.
So we'd be heading into the evening.
Cool.
So, yeah, so Lieutenant Hoover says, so, yeah, you're more than welcome to camp out here, head the rest of the way to Krakow in the morning, you know, so you're not trying to, you know, make your way in at night. It's not necessarily a safe place all the time, if you know what I mean.
Nope. I appreciate the heads up. We are more than aware of the situation that we're dealing with. We've tracked our way from a POW down through Parju and have made our way here. We have lost quite a few men, and we have dispatched quite a few enemies. To be completely transparent, the 2nd Armored Division tank that we're looking for with the Longhorns is the last known whereabouts of my son. That's why we're trying to link up with it, and we think that Krakow might be the most, I don't know how to say this, but basically the best place we can get intel as to the last known whereabouts of it.
Your son? Who was your son?
Private Peterson.
You mean Keanu?
You know my boy? Yeah, Keanu Peterson.
Yeah, no, I know who he is. Yeah. And you're his dad, right?
Yes. Yeah, Emmett Peterson. At that, he will stick his hand out almost as a handshake.
Nice to meet you, sir.
It's fine to meet you. Yeah, we're just last intel we got, the tank he was deployed with had the Longhorns on the front from his superior officer, and last we knew it was south of the river.
Yeah, I mean, sir, I haven't seen him, so. I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't recognize a tank like that if I'd have seen it, but we haven't seen it come this way, so. But I mean, they might have gone around, so who knows? But as I said, you're more than welcome, sir. If you want to camp out here, take a load off, rest up, I could have Doc take a look at you guys. Anyone that's wounded, if you need me to.
Well, young man, I just hope you know that you are a godsend. If I can give you any helpful intel from our travels, I would avoid the Parju area.
Yeah, we had no intent of heading that way, sir.
Well, we just know that that was where the last intel of 2nd Armored Division was told to go. And then as we headed through Lublin, we ran into quite a few casualties on crosses. That's actually where we found the major. We pulled her down off of one where the rest of her unit had been burnt up. So some pretty heavy hostile forces going from the northeast of here.
So he looks over at the major and looks back at you and he's like, Shepherd's Flock? Is that what you're talking about? With the crucifixes? And the major says, yeah, that's right, Shepherd's Flock. Yeah, we've heard of that. Haven't really seen it, but we've heard tale of it, heard rumors. Well, that's useful information, sir. I'll keep that in mind. We've mostly been, you know, scavenging whatever we can and, you know, taking out whatever, you know, if we can find some Soviets to ambush and resupply however we need to, kind of living off of that for a while now, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand, soldier. Yeah, we've been doing the same. We've been trying to help those that we can help and trying to keep alive our group as much as we can.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're going to stay, we can, you know, set up a watch and, maybe we can sort through this, the Russian stuff and figure out an equitable split, if you don't mind, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds mighty square.
All right. So y'all are planning on camping there with them into the evening?
Yeah, we plan on camping there. We will make sure that we at least have probably two of our people up at all times, though. Just in our own personal rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're going into the evening then. What's anybody doing?
Can I roll a tech roll now?
Sure. What are you rolling the tech roll on? Which thing?
The 240.
Go ahead.
Two successes.
Okay. So it is 2 points of reliability added.
Correct.
To yeah, boy.
And we use up an AK part.
And that's fine.
So one of the AKs are gone. For the evening shift, I would like to do another maintenance roll on it, which doesn't require another spare part, just the roll.
Okay.
To increase the reliability.
Okay. Someone roll me a D6 for weather for that.
Not everybody at the same time.
Five.
Oh.
Five. It's five. It's I'm definitely five.
The 5-1. The 5 beats.
It's five. It's definitely five.
You guys should really say who's going to do it before you just do it. So that way it's not two people rolling and you pick the better of the two. I'm just saying.
No, mine was first.
It was first because Chris's computer is slow. I'll allow it, but still. All right, so it's still not cloudy. It's sunny, and we're going into evening. Who's doing what is the question.
Stanislav is doing weapons maintenance on the 240.
Okay.
Harrison's just chilling with Mr. Stan. Can I help you fix that? Is there anything you need me to do?
No, here, you take book, you read me book, you read the words on it, and I will translate for you. It will be good teaching lesson for you, yeah?
I like that idea.
Practical application.
All right, Gordy, what are you doing?
I am working on that M9.
All right, roll me a tech roll. You increase its reliability by one. It's also no longer jammed.
Nice.
But you could have unjammed it with a ranged combat roll during combat.
Okay. I didn't know if I had to,
yep.
I had to tech it.
It's a ranged combat roll to unjam it. We didn't get to a point where that was required.
No.
Because shit ended quicker. All right. So you're working on the M9. Harrison's reading a book. I'm going to call that resting. Stanislav is working on shit. Emmett, what are you doing?
What's Murph doing? Is he keeping watch or is he sleeping?
No. Murph's got 4 damage and 3 stress. He went and off on his own and laid in that little group of trees to the west.
Gordy is also sipping from his special canteen.
All right, so Murph is sleeping.
So Murph is sleeping away from the camp, is what you're saying?
On the map. It's not away from the camp. It's one square over.
Right. Well, okay, I guess I was asking what the intent was, what you meant. Because all of that's like theater of the mind-ish. You know what I mean? Like,
he's not.
So I'm asking, like, I'm asking what you mean by over in a crop of trees by himself, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, he didn't walk a mile away. Just like, you know, like 50 feet away or 20 feet away into that little group of trees that's... Oh, I guess it's like 10, 20 feet away based on...
Meters.
You know, just off on his own, but not, you know, in fucking the next county over.
Right, okay. Emmett.
Emmett is making sure that the major is taken care of in the back of the truck. He's got her kind of set up with a pack up behind her back, knowing that she can't move, making sure she's got MRE and water, making sure she's as comfortable as she can be. Taking care of her, his hand touches hers, and his attention shifts, and in the process, you hear the faintest sound of boop, 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 and you see Emmett's hand wrapped around a woman's hand as the camera pans out. And you see Emmett's wife in a hospital bed. TV on in the background up in the hospital room, as you see on the TV screen multiple nuclear bombs dropping in different regions. His wife looks at him and says, "Honey, the cancer's going to take me before this war ever does. But I need you to bring our son back home." And Emmett leans down and kisses her hand and says, "Kiki Pania, I promise you I will bring our son home." And the beeping of her machine goes flat, and the camera pans to the television as the signal just goes to static. And Emmett snaps out of it and looks at the major and goes, You got everything you need, ma'am?"
"I'm good, Captain. I'm good."
"All right, well, I'm going to try and get some shut-eye here."
"I'll be good, Captain. Thank you." And she's kind of like starting to fall asleep. So we look around the camp and we can see they got a couple of them up. They're at like, 25%. So that's kind of what they've got going for their watch. And they're at different points around it. And the rest of them are kind of starting to figure out a place to lay down and kind of making, a good place to lie as we go into the night shift. So anybody that had to roll a thing for evening, go ahead and roll that real quick.
Two successes for the 240.
You're good. Anybody else did a thing that needed a roll for it that didn't roll already? No.
Brian. 240's at 4 reliability.
Excellent, I got it. Thank you.
And we're starting to head into the nighttime shift. We look around and we see the main group that we've been following thus far, and we can see the rest of them that are kind of up right now. And you can see a couple other people that are over sleeping, like another 3 of them are sleeping, because you assume they're going to go on watch when a night shift comes over. And we kind of pan around and we can see a couple fires. They dug holes so that they could conceal their camp. And you go around and see Murph sitting in the tree line. You see Gordon working on his M9. You see Murph sitting over in the trees kind of by himself. And Lieutenant walks over to Emmett. And he kind of looks around and he says, "So, Captain, Peterson had talked about his dad before. And something's not right. He wasn't a captain.